Not because I'm super spiritual. I don't want that happening, thinking that. But I came in and I just felt impressed in the Lord that, well, we're going to start out the year, for some of us, we're going to have to trust the Lord. And so let me, for those who need closure, okay, I'm going to give you the last 3 points of the visits on when angels visit. That way it's complete. And then you don't feel like you need psychological help later because I did not help you finish a journey. Okay. I need closure. I can hear people saying that right now. But then we're going to take a look at Proverbs. So to finish out the last 3 visits is this. And those that are taking notes or following along. Visit number 6 was found in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 23. Joseph has a second dream, and he is told to take the baby Jesus and go into Egypt. Visit number 7 is found in Matthew chapter 2, verse 19, and the angel appears to Joseph again in a dream, tells him that Herod has died, and those who sought the child's life is now dead. And then the final visit, visit 8, is found in Matthew chapter 2, verses 22. And it says, being warned by God in a dream, that means divine intervention, was sent to Galilee. And then the 23rd verse there, the reason he was sent to Galilee was to fulfill the prophecy that he should be called a Nazarene. And so those are the last 3 visits that were left. When I came in today, I just started thinking about 2018, what's going to be going on. And of course, nobody knows. And every year at this time, we get people in churches and religions and supposed prophets and people that think they know what 2018 is going to bring. And the truth is that the only one that knows those things is God. We sing that hymn written by Bill Gaither, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow." And I thought about that today, and I thought about how true that is, that nobody has any idea what the next year is going to hold. I mean, we had no idea what this last year was going to be like. And as I thought about it, 2018 is going to be like 2017 and 16 and 15, and every year that you've been a Christian, and the truth is that you have to walk by faith and not by sight. We as human beings, I want to see where I'm going. I want to see where God is taking me. I want to see what God is up to. I want God to notify me in advance before He changes anything in my life. I want God to send me a memo saying, now don't forget, next month this is going to happen. And the truth is that's not how God operates. And He doesn't tell us those things. But what He does tell us to do, He tells us to trust Him. He tells us to lean on Him. He tells us to let Him guide every step that we take, even in times when we don't understand why we are going where we are going and why we are doing what we are doing. When things don't always make sense. So 2018 is going to be the year that you and I get to walk by faith again. It is a reminder to you and I that we take one day at a time. One day at a time. And there's a balance in this. You know, I mean, you cannot not plan for retirement. You cannot not have some money in the bank account. You know, you can't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good, we used to say. You know, I had friends of mine, pastors. There's a thing that when a guy becomes an ordained minister, within 2 years, you can notify the IRS that you no longer want Social Security. You don't have to pay into it. They allow ministers to bail out of it. But when you get 62, 65, you have no Social Security. And we had friends when we first came into the ministry telling us how they had gotten out of it. And I know one of them now has no social security. His wife worked to make ends meet, and now they're living off her social security for what very little of what it is. I say that because I think sometimes people get so spiritual that think they don't have to plan for anything. When I was 22 years old, I remember thinking about 65 and going, phew, that's 43 years from now. Who cares? Okay, so now 4 years from now, I'll be 65. It got here. Like that, blink of an eye, gone. Thank God we had the wisdom to tuck some money away in a Roth, an IRA, so that way we can have a little something put away. I mean, it happens. So when I tell you these things, this isn't don't plan for nothing. This is a thing saying you don't know what life will bring, and you and I need to trust Him with everything we have in us. So I don't know what's going to happen in 2018. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't know what's going to happen to Dawn. I don't know what's going to happen to anything. But the one thing that I absolutely do know is that I have to trust God no matter what life throws my way. So for some of us, this next year will be a blessing. Changes will come along. And you'll go through a season of blessing. It could be financial, it could be occupational, it could be health. You know, sometimes people talk about God's blessings and they always think it's materialistic. If you had your health this last year, that's a blessing. That is a blessing. Thank God for that. And so some of us are going to have seasons of blessing during this next year. For others, you're going to go through seasons of being stretched. God taking new places in your walk with Him that you have never been before. You say that you trust God now. By the end of the year, He may take you somewhere where you trust Him more than you ever had with your life. We get stretched. Some of you will be in a places of transition. Things changing in your life. And it could be a variety of different things. Like I said, I don't know what's going to happen in your lives. I don't know what's going to happen in my life. But I know one thing, life is going to happen to all of us, and in all of us somewhere, this is going to touch us someplace. You'll be blessed and you'll be broken. You'll be healed and you'll be sick. There will be seasons in your life of God pushing you and stretching you and making you believe Him for things that you've never believed Him before, and you're going to mature, you're going to grow, and you're going to be in seasons of your life during this next year. Some of you, it's going to be the transitions taking a place, and it could be spiritually, it could be mentally, it can be emotionally maturing, emotional transition going on, God dropping something into your life that you've never seen that way before. You know, I mean, my hope and prayer is that you guys do the same thing that Dawn and I do. We'll read the same verse in the Bible over the last 30 years of reading the Bible. We're going to come across the verse. I know I have read that verse 100 times, but at that one moment, bam, I see it new, like I've never seen it before. Change, transition, growth. Some of it is painful. Some of it is agonizing. Some of it is very difficult. And then at other times, it's a tremendous blessing, and it may be God fulfilling a promise to you. I remind people also that all of us have some promise that God has given us, well, most of us have, things that we believe that God has dropped into our heart. And time has gone by in our lives, wondering if the promise is ever going to take place. And you and I have served the Lord long enough to know that when God has His hand on somebody, age has nothing to do with God keeping His promise. I mean, Moses was 80 years old when he saw that burning bush. Abraham and Sarah, he was like almost 100. She was 95. And then what? She gets pregnant. You know, I mean, really. And then we just saw, as we looked at angels, Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth. I mean, what was the first thing he said? What do you mean we're going to have a baby? We're too old for that stuff. John the Baptist is born. Don't count ever a slackness in your attitude towards the Lord that somehow he has forgotten his promises to you. He has a timing which is agonizingly, painfully slow when you're waiting on him. But I'm telling you, he will keep it. He will keep it. Because we look at everything in the natural. We look at everything according to our thoughts and our health and our timetable. We tell God, you know, no, we're too old for that now. It's impossible for us to have children. Meaningless to God. So as we take a look at this, and I've quoted this passage of Scripture, I've used it, I know, many, many times, but I want to take time to take it apart again as we look at trusting in the Lord. So if you want to follow along, it's in Proverbs chapter 3, and it's verses 5 and 6. And if you write in your Bible, and I hope you do, I mean, I underline in my Bible, I color code. I went through a season of having color-coded pencils, and I'm, you know, got all these different colors in my Bible. I know what they mean. If you pick it up, you're going to go, Pastor must have been bored. He was coloring his Bible. But I want you to take a look at this, because it really is something that God wants you and I in our relationship with him to come to a place where we can totally and completely do this. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and I'm just as guilty as you. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Probably the two simplest verses in the Bible, but I'm telling you what, it is going to be the two most powerful because it affects your life. So I want you to take a look at this. Back in verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. The word trust here is a verb in the Hebrew. It is an action that is on you. It is your part. It isn't God trusting you. It's you trusting him. It's you coming to a place in your walk where you are tired of fighting the fights on your own, where you are tired of doing the battles on your own, and that you realize that what you are going through is bigger than you, and then you come to a place where you release the entirety of your life, and you do so, and you put it in the hands of the Lord, trusting him. You come to a place in your walk with him, that you take everything you have, everything you own, everyone you love, and you say, God, here, it's yours. I can't carry this anymore. Sometimes when you get to this place, people will think like, well, you don't care. No, it doesn't mean that you don't care what happens to people. It doesn't mean you don't care if you have a steady job. It doesn't mean that you don't care that you're not making ends meet. But there is a place where no matter how much you care, nothing's getting fixed. Nothing is changing. You come to the point and saying, God, I can't stretch my paycheck any farther. I can't do this anymore. I can't, Lord, I'm tired and I'm done, and I'm going to trust you no matter what. Whatever place he takes you, whatever direction he takes you. There's this idea that you and I have this action that falls on us and that we trust in the Lord. To trust in the Lord has four Hebrew meanings. The first one, it means this. It means to have a confidence in. If I trust him, I believe in him, I have a confidence in him. In other words, I know that God's promises are real. I know that God's promises are true. You know, he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Every single one of us has gone through something in our life where we have failed that felt like God bailed on us. We didn't sense his power. We didn't sense his presence. We just felt nothing. And we're like, well, God, where are you at? He didn't go anywhere. He wants us to know that he is with us every moment of the day, and we learn this in trusting him. That no matter what I'm going through, no matter what you are experiencing, he has never left your side. And I think sometimes as Christians, we get thinking, well, if he's never left my side, then why haven't things changed? Why aren't things better? Why aren't all the things that's going on in my life, why haven't they changed? Listen, you and I need to trust him no matter what you're going through, whether he changes anything and or not. Don't put your trust in circumstances and events. In other words, if God really loved me, then I wouldn't be going through this. If God really cared for me, I wouldn't be experiencing this. If God was really in my life, then why am I experiencing these things? People do that kind of stuff. I do that kind of stuff. But there's a place that we step away from saying, no, whoa, I got it wrong. I got to turn this around. I need to look at it. In spite of what I'm going through, I'm going to trust him. In spite of what is happening, I'm going to trust him. No matter what is going on in my life, I'm going to believe him. That's what we come to, and it's a hard place to get to. It's a place where you and I release ourselves and say, Lord, okay, no matter what, I trust you. I am trusting you for the outcome. I am trusting you for the direction. I am trusting you that things will end up the way that you want them to end up, because I belong to you. So it's an action that is on our part. The second meaning for the word trust is this. It means to place one's hope upon. Paul writes to the church of Corinth, and he says, we are not like those in the world who have no hope. We have hope. We have a hope on this life and in this planet. I have a hope that things can change. I have a hope that things can be better. I have a hope. See, and the thing is this. You got to understand in the Hebrew and Greek, hope in those languages are not like the language we have. You know, it's not like you went and bought the Powerball ticket, okay? I know you didn't. But if you did, tithe on just saying, okay? You went and got a Powerball ticket, and you're going, well, I hope I win. That is nothing but wishful fantasy thinking. The word hope in the Hebrew and hope in the Greek isn't a wishy-washy hope. It is my confidence is in God. My confidence and my strength is in him. My hope in him then is a sure thing. I know if I die tonight, I'm going to heaven. I know that there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. I know that no matter what Satan throws on me, I have the armor of God, and God will never leave my side. See, those are the things that we hope on, not wishful. Those are things that confidence. They belong to us as Christians. They belong to you. They belong to me as believers, as we walk with the Lord. That's my hope. My hope and my trust is not in governments. It is not in taxes. It is not in IRAs. It is not in any of the stuff that the world presents to you and I. My hope is in Christ. All right, third thing trust means is this. It means to throw one's care upon. To throw one's care upon. Have you taken your finances and your children and your spouse, and have you gone before God and say, God, here. They belong to you. They're yours. Giving those things to Him, let Him work them over. If your child isn't serving the Lord right now, let God get after them. I tell you what, God will do a much better job at convicting them than you ever will. Your entire future, you need to give over to Him. Every aspect of your life, you need to say, God, here are my finances. You give me wisdom. Here is my children, God. You redeem them, touch them, do whatever it takes to bring them to you, Lord God. They are now yours. My future, Lord, I give to you. Now, that's going to mean a lot more to some of you. Having a future to Brock is a lot longer than mine. I'm taking it one day at a time. Brock's got years down the road there. Here's my future, all 70 years of it. I'm like, well, you know, for me, it's kind of iffy right now. But the idea is there's got to be this complete trust in the Lord. I mean, complete. Not you holding some little piece of your relationship from Him because you don't want Him messing with that. It is a trust that we have on them. So I take all of my cares. Lord, I give my child to you. I give my finances to you. I give my future to you. I give my wife to you. Whatever it is. Say, Lord, I give these things to you. I'm throwing my cares upon you. All right, the fourth thing that trust means is this. It means to make secure. To make secure. Christian, if you are trusting Him, there should be a sense of security in your spirit that says, okay, I know who's in charge. It is a security that is there. It doesn't mean life is perfect. It doesn't mean it's all going to go well. It doesn't mean any of those things. But what it does mean is this. If something is happening, I have a security in Him. My security is in Him. You could have everything wiped out. Where's your security? In Christ. Because that's the only thing that you can count on. That is the only thing that's going to last. That is the only thing. When you draw your last breath on this planet, that you're going to hold on to is your faith and your security in the Lord. Everything you possess, everything you own, everything that's in bank accounts eventually is going to go to somebody. I'm not saying that's good or bad. It's just that's just how life is. But I can take my faith, I can take my trust, I can take my security and have that through the entirety of my life. And when I draw my last breath, saying, Lord, I know I am secure in Christ. So he goes on here. The next part of it says this, with all of your heart. What does it mean with all of your heart? The heart in the Hebrew writers is regarded in four ways. Number one, it is this. It means the emotions of the mind. The emotions of the mind. We have to protect our mind. And I know the ladies have just finished the book from Joyce Meyer, The Battlefield of the Mind. And I tell you what a truism that is. The ideas, the thoughts, the things that come into our mind that torment us, that hurt us, that lie to us. I got a sermon we're going to do on the six or seven lying voices that Satan throws at us. You know, he'll tell you you're not worthy. He'll tell you that you're no good. He'll tell you that God don't love you. He'll tell you you have no gifts. He'll tell you that you have no abilities. He'll tell you that you have no friends. He will tell you, he will lie to you. There are lying voices. If I'm trusting Him, I need to have that put into my mind that no matter what Satan says to me, I can say, Satan, you are a liar. Because that's not how my God operates. Number two, with all your heart means the mode of our thinking and our acting. He changes us. He works on us. He changes the way we think. And in changing the way we think, He also changes the way we act, because sometimes how we think is how we will act out. And so we will look at those things and we act. He says, what is he doing? I am trusting him with all of everything that makes me who I am. I'm giving him that, how I think and how I act. The next one is this. Number three, will and purpose. The third one, all of your heart means will and purpose. The things that we will and the purpose. God, what is your will for my life? What do you want me to do? What is the direction that it's going to take? What is going to happen? Will and purpose are those things that you and I have in our lives as we are trusting him and as we walk through life. Lord, I don't want just my will. I want your will. And I think there's sometimes people are afraid to say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus did it and he was hung on a cross, but that was the plan. Have you ever come before the Lord with a heart that says, not my will, but yours be done? Is there something in you that really thinks that you've got some kind of control over your life that God doesn't have? I don't want to say that because God might make me do something I don't want to do. Well, that's okay. Jonah had to do something he didn't want to do either. And then, you know, a couple days in the belly of a fish, a little attitude adjustment, and he was ready to work with God. You know, I mean, he'll do that. He brings our will to his will. He brings us to a point where it's his will, not our will. Lord, what do you want from me and my purpose? Changing the complete direction of the purpose of our lives and taking us the direction that he wants us to go. And I'll give you this final one here, and then we'll pick up the rest of five next week. It means intelligence and wisdom. Intelligence and wisdom. And I'll bring this up again later on, but there is something about serving God that gives people a wisdom that other people do not have, and that is not in a bragging way. But don't you notice as Christians that we have insights to things that people around us don't? I mean, people in the world don't get it. They go about their daily lives back and forth, back and forth. We see things changing around us. I got a video clip, and I don't have it set up for today, but it's a video clip, and the guy is getting a chip put into his back of his hand, and he was all happy about it. He says, man, look at this. I can open doors. I can buy coffee at Starbucks. I can do this, this, and this. All is soon, everybody's going to have this chip in their hand. And he was so excited because as far as he knew, he was the first person on earth that was ever to do that. He just thought it was great. And I'm looking at that going, dear Lord Jesus, what next? Mark of the beast, Antichrist, tracking systems. There is a wisdom that comes from God for you and I as Christians that the world does not have. A godly wisdom, a godly insight that comes from serving him. A wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. I'm a firm believer that when God directs people, that if you just saturate it with prayer, that he will guide your steps. Because it'll say here, the steps of a righteous man availeth much. God is guiding you. So as we go into 2018, I have no idea what's going to happen in my life or Dawn's life or your lives. But one thing I do know. It's the God that I belong to is bigger than Burles. It's bigger than America. He's bigger than the world. He's bigger than all of the things that we worry about because he is God. And there is nothing that is out of his control. So as we go into 2018, I want you to put a trust in him like you have never trusted him before. And I don't mean that in anything like something bad. It's just growing in saying, you know, Lord, I'm passing through. And the older I get, I'm passing through. You know, I'm a temp, just like you. We're temps on this planet. Sooner or later, we get to go be with Jesus. I'm a temp. And while I'm doing this, I want to trust you, God, with all of my heart and with all of my being because I love you. And I want to be with you. Trusting in the Lord. And we'll finish up the rest of 5 and on next week. Would you stand, please?